I'm having a John Paul Sartre experience today. I'm feeling very existential.
Oh, I'm sorry, but this restaurant should do this for sales of food.
It's Wednesday. It is a special week here on Rockin' the Suburbs, Flying Nun Week. You never know what you're going to get on Rockin' the Suburbs, right?
It's like a box of chocolate.
Right, Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah, and some weeks it's, oh man, there's coconut every day. I just got coconut. I don't like coconut. I don't know about you. I'm Patrick Foster. Alongside me in my basement is...
I'm Nick Sclera.
Nick, thank you again for doing this and being here and sharing all your knowledge. Jim is away doing a college thing. Where did you go to school, Nick?
I went to school at Fairfield University.
Okay, Connecticut.
It's outside of New York, which was a great connection for music. I mean, that's sort of one of the we saw a lot of great stuff in New York.
I bet.
Being close to New York was great.
How long was that to
about
get into the city?
40-minute train ride.
That's incredible.
I will mention one famous alum from Fairfield University,
okay,
is Jim Wilbur of Superchunk.
Is that right?
Was a classmate of mine.
I didn't know that.
He was about a year or two ahead of me. Yeah.
Wow. Did you know him at all? Or?
I did know him.
Yeah,
we were sort
cool.
of in the same circles, and he's a big Flying Nun fan, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we will.
We'll get into it. He was in a different band. They were sort of the top campus band, and he hooked up with Superchunk maybe a year or two later.
That's awesome.
He still rocks.
Yeah.
I went to see them a couple weeks ago. I know you were there too. And
yeah, that's
just
right.
Thinking, wow, I went to college with that guy, and he's still like,
that's
playing
amazing.
Rock and roll.
I know. And those guys played a great show, man. They played so hard, and they were all sweaty. It was really impressive,
right,
man. I thought it was great. So we are in the middle of Flying Nun Week. The hump day of Flying Nun Week has arrived. On Monday, we sort of talked about the overall history and context of the label, and yesterday we touched on four really pillar bands, important ones: Chills, the Verlaines, Tall Dwarfs, and Look Blue, Go Purple. So that was all great, and we've talked a little bit about the Clean and some other things here in the origin story. But today we're going to go a little bit deeper. So this is kind of, how would you describe this, Nick?
This sort of feels like the second wave to me.
Yeah.
These are the bands that sort of come in the late 80s, early 90s. The sound is evolving. There's a lot more variability, a lot of adventurism and experimentation going on. Different sounds, of course, but you will see certain people recycling through the bands from old bands, so it's not that different. But the field is widening, the geography is widening. A couple of these bands try to get big also and get out there in the world. So
as the company grew, as the scope widened, as you said, as this kind of second wave emerged, as often happens on classic labels, you have your standard first wave, and then another wave will come along. All during this time, Flying Nun was releasing all kinds of other strange stuff that were, in some cases one-offs, in some cases smaller bands. And I just want to point out a few. The Axemen put out a record called Three Virgins, Three Visions, Three Versions, I believe is the other one. And it's a really bizarre record. And they're like kind of these art terrorists kind of people who wrote songs about all kinds of equality issues and acceptance, and just sort of found sounds that they had. And
so I can see the grass on the pit of layman. The youth of today, make your own entertainment. I sit through the press under threat of arraignment. The youth of today, make your own entertainment. To free the press and the threat of arraignment. The youth of today makes their own entertainment. I said free the press and the threat of arraignment. The youth of today makes their own entertainment.
Talking about the Tall Dwarfs throwing everything at the wall, these guys did it. They're just a super weird band, and they put another record out on Flying Nun, and then continued later on to do other things. Kind of Chumbawamba-ish in some ways. They were really left field. Another band was the Gordons. Now, the Gordons were kind of a heavier, harder rock band, and there is some of that on the Flying Nun label. They also evolved into a band called Belter Space, right? That's another kind of a cool band. They have some really cool EPs. There's an EP called Nelsh that I really like by Belter Space. Okay, so there's also a band called Snapper. There's a guy called Peter Gutteridge. Are you familiar with him? He was in Clean, right, early on, and he made Snapper. And Snapper was a little more like synthesizer-based and drone-y and a little darker. Suicide might have been an influence, like for Snapper, right? And then there's some weird, just kind of one-off pop bands. There's a record by a band called the Abel Tasmans that I really, really like, called A Cup of Tea and Lie Down.
What was that thing you said? Run that one by me again. What was that thing you saw? Left it running at my door. Photographs, six of them hanging on my wall.
had some really good songs on it. And then the Alpaca Brothers, I think I'm saying that right, was another strange band. I was up in the A section of my record collection, as you can tell. And then we were just kind of digging through some of the stuff that both of us have collected, and just kind of looking at some of the oddities. And there are like a lot of cool like little one-off groups that happen on Flying Nun.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know, to the consternation of some of the more established bands.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, Roger Shepherd, as we talked about quite a bit, if he liked it, he was going to put it out.
Yeah.
And I even think even if he didn't like it, he was going to put it out if he thought it had some amount of merit. And, you know, it sucked up a lot of the resources of there were limited, you know, record pressing facilities in New Zealand. Money was a problem all the time.
It really was.
And, you know, when a band like the Verlaines has a sort of masterpiece sitting on the shelf, but you're putting out the Alpaca Brothers and right. everything else. I mean, that was the spirit of the label. And that's sort of like that comes with the package if you're into it.
You know, and one of the big things I took away from that book was the fact that he hardly changed his philosophy as he went on. I mean, that's like you said, that could be a problem for businesses that are growing, right?
Yeah.
I know your philosophy at the beginning is DIY, and the next one will pay for the next one. But you know, right. just if he liked it, he continued to put it out.
Yeah. I mean, there's you know, some of those bands had the gig to pay for the record,
right.
and it would be a case where the Verlaines talked about sort of just having a gig around New Zealand and Australia, make money, and help fund the actual pressing of their.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you mentioned a few bands yesterday and at the top here. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Okay, we're going to talk about the Bats. The Bats are
a big band for you.
So I love the Bats. I'm a big fan of them. They actually aren't there. I'm not sure I'd call them in the second wave because Robert Scott was in the Clean.
Mm-hmm.
But most of their best recordings come out in the late 80s and early 90s. They had a little bit of success in the early 90s.
Yes, they did.
So Robert Scott, bassist for the Clean, is the main sort of voice songwriter. Kay Woodward, also the female guitar player, who herself a great songwriter. The interplay of the two voices between Robert Scott and Kay Woodward is really key to their sound. And then you have Paul Keane, the bassist, ex of Toy Love, going all the way back.
Isn't that interesting?
It's pretty wild. And Malcolm Grant, the drummer. Now, these guys have been together since... They haven't. It's been the same lineup since day one. Basically.
Isn't that? Yeah, and that's kind of unusual.
That's
too.
Rare for a Flying Nun band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you like their sound, they've stuck to it.
Yeah,
and you know, a lot of bands get accused of, varying from the formula. These guys didn't. And if you like that, if you like the formula, they're going to keep giving it to you. And they are still recording. We're going to play a couple of more classic tracks for you now, but I just wanted to point out that they just released an album in 2017, The Deep Set, which is
very
a pretty
good.
decent album. I really actually like Free All Monsters, which came out in 2014, mm-hmm. and they actually were in D.C. I got a chance to see them
at
the DC9 with about, 70 other people.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, they were just kind of sitting in a booth by the bar, too. I was afraid to talk to them, but hey, you know, to me, they're big stars.
Yeah.
But you know, so they're an active band. There's a Kay Woodward has a side project called Mini Snap, which mm-hmm. is worth a listen as well. But these guys just keep sort of, they've been doing the jangle pop with the male-female voice forever. It's just, the bass lines are amazing. The strumming is very high
really
and
incredible.
So, you know, they're definitely worth checking out. It's very high quality stuff. It doesn't vary a lot,
no,
but it's high quality.
But if you like it, it's great to hear all these little variations
right.
they do.
They're a hardworking band. They don't take themselves too seriously. One other oddity, you can find on YouTube an interview that Flight of the Conchords guys did with the Bats.
Oh, is that right?
So weird.
That is really
you should
weird.
Look it up because
I would love to see that.
I'm not sure the Bats know who they are. And it's clear that the Flight of the Conchords guys are fans because, you know, again, they know who they are. These guys are well known in New Zealand. But anyway, check that out.
Band meeting. Brett.
Yes.
Jermaine.
Also yes.
Murray, present. Of course. Right. Oh, yes. Item one. Good news. Your CD's made double platinum in America.
On to the music.
Yeah.
I think what we'll take a listen to is the first song is Treason, which is off of Daddy's Highway mm-hmm. in 87, which is... top to bottom, there's not a bad second on that album as far as I'm concerned. It just goes straight through, pop hit after pop hit.
So we go in.
really hard to turn that song off.
You know, the harmonies are just great. These guys are,
yeah,
are really a joy to listen to and to see. The Bats are a band that put out a gazillion EPs, and
they did.
You know, and so you know, Treason comes off the first sort of actual album.
Right,
but there's a lot of compilation, and it's yeah, compilations out there. It's worth listening to.
There's a great one called The Bats Volume 1 that really kind of covers all those early EPs, and then goes through, I think just ends with Daddy's Highway, or maybe goes on to the next one. I don't know.
I think it's probably includes some songs from Daddy's Highway, but I don't know. It's confusing. The discography is always confusing with these guys. But I think we were just going to play a quick excerpt from a song that came out, I think, 3 years ago called Simpletons.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I mean, honestly, I think it, not a lot of development necessarily, but still just great, great Bats stuff. You know what you're going to get with the Bats.
Simpletons cross my path.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You can really hear the harmonies there. It's really lovely.
It's amazing. And, you know, I would swear it's the same exact guitar.
Yeah.
You know, from 87 to 2014.
And did they play a lot of the older songs at the show,
yeah,
the most
they
recent
do.
Show?
They play, you know, they play mostly their new stuff, but like you'll hear Treason, you'll hear North by North.
Nice.
And it sounds great.
Yeah.
They're a very tight band.
Yeah.
And Paul Keane, the bassist who's been around since Toy Love, is just a fabulous. He's one of those guys that'll talk a lot in between songs.
That's cool.
A lot of great stories of the old days.
And, yeah.
Really, you know, interacts with the audience, which is good to see once in a while.
It's so interesting to me and says a lot about Flying Nun that Robert Scott's the bass player in the Clean. He plays guitar in the Bats, which is kind of his band, yet nobody seems to have a problem with it at all.
No,
you know?
And he's still in the Clean, which also still exists sort of occasionally when they decide to
do their thing
out.
When they want to do their thing.
People don't have a problem with being in two different bands.
It's just that spirit.
That's how it is. I'm going to change it up to something a little bit different.
All right.
So one of my favorite band names ever, the Jean-Paul Sartre Experience.
So good.
My horrible French accent. You won't be surprised to hear, or maybe you will, but the Jean-Paul Sartre estate did attempt to sue them.
I would imagine. Yeah. So,
and maybe it's because of the songs they put out. I don't know. But to me, that's always not, you know, it's existential angst of like them having to take their name.
Totally.
You know, works.
Yeah. There is a lot of angst.
right.
A lot of nausea.
So they do go on later as the terribly named JPS Experience.
Yeah.
You know, so
kind of a bummer.
It's a bummer, but the music is great. This is sort of a band that came out in the mid to late 80s. Dave Yetton, vocalist, guitarist, Dave Mulcahy, and Jim Lang, drummer Gary Sullivan. These guys are quirky as all get out. And if you look at the album cover for the first album, is one of the creepier images I've ever seen. I don't know how you describe it.
Strange video capture screenshot.
Like
somebody took a Polaroid of their TV or something.
Right. And they appear to be out just amongst some vines and it's raining. And that's another album, an image that gets stuck in my head.
Yeah.
But these guys are great. They're a little bit darker, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, than some of the other Flying bands. You know, they still have that sort of DIY whimsy going that, you know, you can hear the jangly guitars in the earlier recordings. But they did put out three great albums, and they do sort of, they start kind of, and we'll play the first song is I Like Rain, is from when their first release. That's still very much in the Flying Nun jangle school.
I'm
you hear a little Tall Dwarfs and a little Clean. But
so.
That's
it's
still
good,
evolving, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah, I definitely see the Tall Dwarfs influence
what a great
here.
Song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very strange band. Also, a band to look up their videos.
Yeah.
Just mm-hmm. some really great.
The oddness.
The great, just bizarre 1980s videos worth
yeah.
checking out. I think I will play one more song for them.
Okay.
Inside and Out, we were thinking of, is from a little bit from their later period. You
yeah.
could hear them branching out mm-hmm. into sort of a bit of a harder sound, a little mm-hmm. bit less jangly.
This is off of their album, The Size of Food. Love the drums on that.
Yeah.
They have one of my favorite songs. And you know what? I got an idea. How about we... Okay, so another Jean-Paul Sartre Experience song is called Flex.
You rub up a skin and turn and tell me she is ugly beneath it. Well, that's funny because I thought you were friends, but are you?
Pretty well known song. It's amazing. Some of the lyrics in that are just vicious, man. Rip up my skin.
Yeah.
Man. But you know, I was saying, I'm not sure if we had the mics running or not, there was a song I was talking about. If I had to be forced to make a top, you know, 10, here's 10 great Flying Nun songs or whatever. I'm going to challenge you to do it.
Ooh.
10. You don't have to do it now.
Okay.
We'll put it on the website.
All right.
People can
all
come
right.
back and check it out. I'll do it too. I'll give you my
it's
word.
Gonna
I'll
hurt.
Do it. Yeah, it's going to be hard. But it'll be interesting
it's
to sing.
See.
But I would nominate Flex for one of those.
All right.
So when we come to the end of this episode, I'll remind you of your challenge.
All right.
Okay.
Accepted. All right. So we're going to move on to a band called the 3Ds.
Yeah. Tell me about them. So I don't know a whole lot about them, but I have a good story.
The 3Ds are... typical of a lot of the Flying Nun bands, mm-hmm. members drawn from other names that we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. Denise Roman of Look Blue, Go Purple. Someone from the Exploding Budgies. I've never heard of that band before.
That's another one of those weird one-offs.
One of those one-off bands. Birdnest Roy's is a band I've heard mm-hmm. of, mm-hmm. another member. So it's basically a bunch of folks who have names beginning with D.
Yeah.
We have David Saunders, Denise Rowan, Dominic Stones, and David Mitchell. So
that's
there you go.
4Ds.
So anyway, we'll take a quick listen to these guys. I mean, I think what's interesting is that, you know, it's got the hooks, but there's more of a brash, you know, kind of headbutting guitar lines mm-hmm. in these things.
Yeah, they were a little more unhinged.
Well, yeah, a little bit, you know, they're poppy, but also grinding, which, you know, I it's kind of a weird juxtaposition. But again, they're moving beyond the sort of the pop infused sound of the earlier bands. You know, these guys had a little bit of a taste of success in the sense that they were getting noticed.
Yeah, they kind of were.
Yeah, I mean, they were opening up for Nirvana in New Zealand mm-hmm. and also played with Pavement and, you know, they thought they might go somewhere, but like all Flying Nun bands, the timing was bad again.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're touring with Nirvana, you're in the wake of their sound. And
that was it.
Right. But anyway, so we're going to hear, let's take a listen to Beautiful Thing.
Beautiful
the bass line is like fuzzed out in this one, and it's kind of got sort of a trippier, a little bit more, you know, kind of psychedelic edge to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's great stuff.
Now there's a song. I'm going to play a little bit of this. I'm going to go off script here for you. There's a song. I was trying to think of it, and it's called Ritual Tragic. I think this is the one I'm thinking of, and it's off one of their early EPs. So give this a quick listen, and some of that grinding I think you're talking about. There we go.
There's the other. There's the other side of the three Ds. That's one of the Ds we didn't mention. Already.
Yeah.
You know, definitely here with the female lead, you hear there's sort of a bit of the poppier.
Yeah.
You know, we could hear the look blue go purple again going here, but this is a definitely a different sound for them. They had a bit more range than a lot of the bands.
Yeah. So I did see them. There was a great triple bill tour that came through, and I'm trying to see. And they played at a venue here in DC, and I know it was the Bats and the 3Ds, and there was another band, and I cannot remember who it was. I don't think it was the Jean-Paul Sartre Experience.
Wasn't Straitjacket Fits?
It might have been, though. Anyway, it was a great show.
Yeah.
And the 3Ds were standing there in the backstage area, or not the backstage, one of the bars, just standing there after they played. I think they went first or second. They weren't the headliner. And I was like, you know, I might have been drinking.
Maybe.
That's not unheard of. And so I just went up to him and started talking to him, and I actually got him to sign my Hell's Bopping CD. But the funniest thing was they said to me after we were just talking a little bit, did I get everybody, or maybe I only got three? I can't remember.
Three here.
Yeah, I think I missed one of the Ds. So I did get three Ds.
Got three Ds.
They said to me, so where's the cool place to go in this town? What do you mean? What's a cool place to go? This is the cool place to go.
Right,
you guys are here. There's three Flying Nun bands playing on the freaking stage. What do you mean? Where's the cool place to go?
That's amazing story.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But they were super, you know, super nice.
I did hear something of that tour is kind of infamous, actually.
That triple tour?
Like, yeah, in the sense that I think, other than the Bats, the other two bands broke up during it.
I think that's right. So, it didn't go great.
It didn't go great, you know, again, in the wake of grunge, hoping to make a bit of a breakthrough, but Flying Nun's promotional wing, such as it was, you know, a lot of the shows were in Nowheresville and people not showing up.
Yeah.
And so
we had guys like me when they were showing up.
Yeah, right. Nobody's like you.
Yeah. No friends.
That's right. So cool. All right.
No, that was great.
All right. Well, as long as we mentioned Straitjacket Fits, why don't we talk about another band with a fabulous name?
Yeah, amazing band.
And this will be it for this look at the second wave. Straitjacket Fits, another Dunedin band, of course. Shane Carter. So this band has sort of the Lennon McCartney vibe to it.
Yeah, it's
interesting. And Shane Carter and Andrew Bruff are sort of the two vocalists and songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'd call Shane the more Lennon, and, you know.
I would say that's right, yeah.
So, you know, Shane is a bit, had played in some, you know, some of the earlier bands in a Flying Nun catalog, a bit of a harder edge to his sound. Andrew Bruff is a little bit more melodic, but Flying Nun kind of pegged these guys also as potential stars. Shane Carter kind of looks the part.
He does.
Right?
And he's got that voice that's very expansive.
Got a great voice, and, you know, he looks like he can be a rock and roll star, which wasn't something you could say about a lot of the Flying Nun acts.
No, he actually went outside on occasion.
Right, exactly. He got some air, some sun. But you know, these guys did have a bit of success. They did sign to Arista Records, you know, and they put out a couple of classic albums. Hail and Melt are fantastic. But, you know, I really like the Bruff songs.
Interesting.
You know, and what a lot of critics have said is sort of like that interplay between the two is what made Straitjacket Fits unique. When Shane Carter took over fully, they moved in a bit more monochromatic, harder edge, which is good because, you know, these bands do need to sort of progress a little bit
absolutely
beyond the sound, but great band, some great songs, some really great songs. I'm not sure I'm thrilled with, you know, listen to the catalog A to Z, but yeah, there are some great moments in there. They have potential. They didn't quite make it, but She Speeds, that's a song that could almost end up in that top 10 list. You know,
you're right. And I think that one of the records that you brought over today, Nick, it was a compilation, In Love With These Times, I do believe She Speeds was included from Straitjacket Fits on that. And that was the first time I heard the band and just instantly said, this is an amazing song.
Yeah. And those compilation records that Flying Nun released through Homestead and other places, those were big for those of us in the college scene to get exposed to these bands. You'd get Tuatara is the one that's mentioned a lot. You know, 15 bands contributing a song, you really get a sense of the sound and a great introduction. So those were key. In Love With These Times is another album that came out later. So anyway, let's listen to it. It's a great one. I think you really hear Shane Carter is a charismatic kind of singer and performer, and you know, when it sort of kicks in with the chorus there,
it's the way they recorded his voice was always amazing to me. It always had a lot of depth, like it always had a cinematic kind of sweep to it, which I loved. Right. Yeah.
So we'll counterpoint that with the McCartney version. David Bruff, Down in Splendor is a much more gentle, delicate song, a song that Shane Carter was happy not to play anymore when when Andrew was out of the band. Excuse me, it's Andrew Bruff. I probably said, I got the D's stuck in my head. You know, it was a bit of an acrimonious breakup, and you know, Andrew did go on to try to record some of his own stuff. Didn't really stick, and Straitjackets didn't last much longer after that either. But this is a great song still, Down in Splendor.
That's a beautiful song. It really, really is. You know, the album that came from, Melt, was one that I used to see in the 99 cent bin.
Yeah.
Constantly. That CD. They must have made a ton of those, Arista.
They did get behind this band.
Yeah.
They tried to get them out there, but it just, you know, and it certainly sounds like it could have gotten airplay.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those that I bought at least twice because I don't know if I have it, but it's only $1.
Exactly.
I'm buying it again.
Price is right.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody got that for Christmas one year. Okay, so let's see. We talked about Jean-Paul Sartre Experience, 3Ds, Straitjacket Fits, and the Bats. Excuse me. So that was a great overview of kind of an expanding wave of where they took the original sound, would you say?
Yeah, totally. You know, and there's a lot more we didn't cover, but you know what? We gotta turn this off at some point.
Yeah, that's our problem that we have right now, folks. We are going to have to start a... No, I'm not going to say it, but I already thought it, and you right. know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is... All right, this is great. You know, we got over the hump here. What do we got coming up, Nick? What's the rest of the week going to look like for us here on the special Flying Nun Week?
All right, so we got two more shows on this. Coming up on Thursday, we're going to talk about the influence of the Flying Nun Dunedin sound on other bands and the indie pop scene in the United States primarily. A lot of bands cite these guys as being influential, and I think that'll come out in some of the things we're going to play. Coming up on Friday, we're going to talk about current Flying Nun artists.
I'm really looking forward to this.
So Flying Nun kind of went into disrepair for a number of years. Roger was gone from the company. The name was really just sort of gone. It was defunct. He did manage to wrest the label back at some point with help from some other investors.
Yeah, they got sort of a group together and bought it back.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they brought the name and the rights back, and they're working a lot with Captured Tracks to put some albums. Some of the classic albums have come out again.
Doing some nice stuff.
So. But there are there's a staple of young acts that they have now that I think are really fabulous. A lot of them, you know, have the Dunedin sound influence, and we'll cite them. And other bands don't at all, or maybe a little bit, and we'll sort of talk about that. But what's interesting is that, you know, it's great that there's some young bands that are carrying the flag still. A lot of strong female voices in this group that we'll talk about. And, you know, and there's also a bit of a reaction against the Dunedin sound, which I want to talk about too. So, cool. So that'll end it up.
Yeah. I got a little lax there once, you know, the label did kind of slide, and I just thought, well, that was, you know, it was a great ride.
Right.
And I stay down here in the basement and I play my weird Tall Doors records and I'm happy, but I can't wait. That'll be a great education. Okay, you have found yourself in the middle of Flying Nun Week on Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster.
And I'm Nick Scalera.
Yeah, thank you, Nick, for being here with me. Down here, it's impossible really to convey in human words how hard we're working for you people to bring you this this week. I mean, it's just, we're exhausted, but we're going to keep going. We're going to crash. Each of us smoke a couple more cigarettes, pass out here on the floor, get back up and do it again tomorrow. So if you want to follow us, you want to go back, you know, check out @suburbspod.com on any of the social medias. You can find where the old episodes are. You can go to suburbspod.com, see everything there. You can email us if you have a question, comment, or correction, which, you know, we're doing our best. I don't think there'll be any corrections, but there might be some comments and questions. rock@suburbspod.com is how you do that. But the best way to do it is be like Echo Park Jimmy, be like Craig Rosen, be like Jimmy Linetti, all of our friends, and call the Suburban Party Line. Nick, that number is
612-440-1984.
You know why they call? Because they listen.
Yeah, every day.
Every
right?
day.
That's I'm told right. it's every day.
Yeah, that's right. It is every day. I can confirm. And now I'm going to hold you to what I said earlier in the show. You're going to make a top 10 list of top 10 Flying Nun songs. Well, if you turn in 100, I won't stop you.
Okay. All right.
And I'm going to do the same. And it'll be really interesting to see what we come up with. We won't consult each other, folks. We'll see what we have. We'll put that up on our website along with these episodes when they air. And that's it. We're gonna play out with the Jean-Paul Sartre Experience.
We need a Doug Hood for this episode. Yeah. Or something like that.